I'd like for you to get a hold of Price's daughter. The Sapphire thing on the, have you read it by any chance on that December 3rd thing?
No.
And have I heard, well, take a look at it. You have a copy.
Oh, excuse myself, I have the time.
It has a falling over Jefferson, which is too obvious. I mean, you can't fall over Jefferson without saying something about Washington or Adams. You know what I mean? It's, I know why he's doing it. He wants to, you know, to build up the idea that I think Jefferson's a great fall and so forth. But I mean, that's great if you can't do it so obviously.
Right. original plan was to have about 50 people sitting in there as a device, and some others. Just to have someone there, but the real question, and the only question that matters really, is whether you feel it would be easier for you and work better for you to talk to an audience, or whether it's easier for you just to work to the camera,
not the 50. So that smattering of applause.
That's right
about that thing. And
that's right.
Up. I don't want a smattering of applause after each one of those people speaks.
Okay.
Nobody is to be there.
Okay.
Did you have to be either 500 or?
No. We could fill it up to 70 or something, but you can't get.
Well, if you can't get the applause out of that, it sounds so pitiful.
Don't you agree? I kind of do, yeah. Originally, we thought it would be a good idea.
Well, there's no good for me to have people to talk to. I do better when I don't have to talk. Unless you're going to go for a route.
See, which is not. It won't be anyone back. I think somehow the telecast comes off better if you're in the house of all the archives. And there shouldn't be there.
There may not be anybody.
Isn't that like
Dole's last time? So we could talk about a couple of things. And I wonder if maybe that might be a good one to show in California. You know, by that time, we got to make a decision on the convention. Right here. Each show is honored.
Yeah,
on the hand it is.
Right.
And I want to be sure I get this all
right
weighed in, because I have to throw out of stuff too. I mean, I have only because people say you're burning unanimous against it. Don't.
Well, that was our, you know, Mitchell's task force was.
Yeah. But
the non-national committee. I don't know what the national committee's position is.
Yeah. Well, the Midwest. They're afraid of it. They don't know what's right there. I don't know. Either that or came in maybe for a half hour before I leave. And you come in with him, Mitchell, when we come in with him every time, you know what I mean?
Right.
Mitchell's busy this week, of course. Somebody's wedding.
I think Dole is too. I think we'll have to get him out there. I think he
knows
he's from Kansas.
Yeah.
But
well, he certainly did the blunts up front last night.
Jeez.
They were loading on air. I saw half
the post office department was there.
Should have been.
We had 8. There were 16 post office departments in Florence.
It was interesting. I was sat next to a lady whose husband is an undersecretary or something, assistant secretary of the post office, and she and her husband both have been born and raised in Washington.
They've never been.
He's been with Westinghouse Company for 23 years in Pittsburgh and Kansas City and places like that. Then come in to the government with us. She'd never been to dinner at the White House, and she said all their neighbors got out on the street and waved, sent them off for dinner last night. And you just forget about that kind of stuff. She said she'd called her in-laws, and she's older, like 50 years old or something. She'd called her in-laws told them they were going to be here tonight. They were all.
See, the mistake we make is to keep repeating. That's why I told you from now on, there ain't going to be no more repeating. No State Department, whether it's except for people that have to be there. We're going to start just having in people that's going to mean something to them. And the few other events we have between now and next year are going to mingle.
And that's true of outside people, too. You get the.
That's what I mean.
You guys like Don Kendall, they like to be around the
rise.
There's as much as I am. And then
there's many 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I think there's what the hell there is.
Right. But then you get some other soul from Philadelphia,
yeah, you know,
it's never been here. It's the biggest thing.
Oh, it's a great thing. I saw that Blunt family afterwards.
Where's
I did it.
Party.
Yeah. I had arranged a dinner for 3 weeks. That was the only evening that, because I'm going away, of people who had had me at their houses. And
I told Henry, you mentioned that at the dinner last night, that it was too bad.
No, I felt terrible about it, but I...
consideration for the postmaster.
No, I didn't learn about it till last Wednesday, that you had done it. I couldn't change it anymore.
But you saw it, and that's been doing pretty good.
Dave, I tell you, he was absolutely floating on air about your toast and how generous you had been to him. And he had his daughters, he brought his daughters around, and his son. And I tell you, I've never seen a happier family. And Dave Packard came by afterwards, and he thought it was a great occasion, gracious.
Well, I made a little tribute to the Under Secretary, which is Dave, of course, has been here many times, but others haven't.
Some of them have, and those assistants, secretaries from post office, have never been, never will be.
Most of the Under Secretaries, yeah. A lot of them are here then.
For dinner, I guess, that's right.
Oh, we had it for Christmas.
They've all been to church at Christmas party or something. They've been in the White House.
And there were some newsmen at my dinner, and he, and Dave were all impressed by the way these people were babbling about you as you were there.
Well, on Bill, why don't you work it out and get him out there if you want, you know, but not the first week. Let's try to keep that week there for once.
Harriman came in this morning. I tell you, the Democrats are really worried. First of all, he was wailing about the papers. He said, you know, that's an attack on the president. It's not an attack on the Democrats.
Why didn't he say so?
That's exactly what I said to him. I said, just say that. And
then the presidency general.
Yeah. And he said he just wants us to know that if we are thinking of negotiating, if we can enter war. Yeah. But he's worried. He thinks something is going on. Yeah.
He's such a partisan. You must think something's going on. Well, there, the leaks must be out. Let me ask you a couple of things, Henry. Maybe a couple of quick things. What significance at all is there in this? From reading the press, of course, every day, there's a huge North Vietnamese offensive in I Corps now. The things I see in the daily reading indicate that there's cockfighting and so forth, but it isn't open.
There's no offensive right now at all. There's some reports that they may be building up, but even that we can't confirm through our sources. You know, the casualties this week were 21. That's a...
They won't play. They were. Colson tells me they are playing the catchers. I don't believe they hardly ever do. They'll probably say 21.
But
this month.
But I can tell from Harriman that the tide is beginning. He said, for example, that if McGovern ran against you, he'd back you. He said he's decided he won't do that either. But
because he thinks he's too far left.
That's right. And I'm just using him as a barometer, Mr. President.
He said, you know, remember how he's getting so jittery. Said told me last night at his dinner. Instead of one thing I did at home, on the therapy side, I gave Rogers a lot of credit on that opium poppy thing.
Okay.
Something else.
Of course.
And Hanley did carry it out to the all, and frankly, Connolly developed a plan, I think, for buying a crop, whatever it is. It's because Rogers, the State Department, goes to surgery, but they worked their asses off and sold it.
Well, if they had to
that's
be
the kind of thing they ought to do.
They had to be brutalized to do it, but
I'll say we brutalized them.
They should get that credit. I had that. Well, I don't know what about this told you about the Indian ambassador at the dinner last night.
What's he talking about?
Well, they've been telling him at State that we've been stopping arms aid. That State wants to stop arms to Pakistan, but the White House won't let it, and I'm not
sure.
Now, I've worked out, Mr. President, an amendment which we could barely live with, which is a slight variation, which is a little...
Well, have you thought of what the alternative is? Is there anything else we can do other than the amendment? Can we just let it lapse?
Well, it's an interesting tactical decision, Mr. President, if you let it lapse. On the whole, I think this amendment that I've got here, we can live with. That won't hurt us. And it's such a pullback for them that if we could get that accepted and get it all quieted down, it would be good. On the other hand, there's something to be said if we hit them in the eyes in the middle of a filibuster. with the Chinese announcement.
Well, they'll filibuster this, let me see. This is different from the others?
It's different, yeah. It takes out the phrase terminate at the earliest practicable date all military operations. And it takes out the phrase prompt withdrawal, just orderly withdrawal.
Has this been given the sense? Well, I mean,
yeah. It's,
what do I say to
you? You can say to Ebert that we are, that Don Cook is delivering, or what's his name?
Cook.
That Cook is delivering to him, Dick Cook is delivering to him the version, the only version that we can accept. It's not that different from what they have. It just takes out one phrase. And I will call Stennis and I'll call... Mr. President, I risk a fight for 2 or 3 weeks. Here is the one that they had already had.
Well,
on balance, probably not letting it. I'll depart or not. You know that the Soviet cosmonauts all got killed?
Oh, sure.
Sent a telegram. It's already being prepared.
Right, the idea that the whole world admires courageous explorers of the unknown. And the American people, the giant people of the world, trust Americans. That's the message I want to send. The whole world admires courageous explorers of the unknown. Best would be as soon as practicable after. As soon as
practicable after.
That's right. As soon as practicable after.
Right.
Thank you. just the usual one. I dictated it myself, and if you're thinking of my daughter, Julie, is in Athens, you know, with, and she called me on the phone, got me up at 7:30 this morning, and to say that she had just heard it. So we just want you to know that wherever brave men are in the world, our deepest sympathy goes to them, and we know that, that your program will continue as ours. But remember, we had three that were lost too one time. But we just want you to know that this is from the heart.
Third point is that as far as the language is concerned,
be perfectly frank with you, that they shouldn't be in it. In other words, they just shouldn't have any. After all, we are negotiating for a ceasefire. We are negotiating for an exchange of prisoners. We are negotiating for a mutual withdrawal. In other words, all that stuff's on the table, and you know what I mean is that we're not going to change a damn thing as a result of this. Yet I know the problem that you've got it when you've got a Senate provision, and you've got to come out with something in conference. Is that basically what you have to do? Sometimes. Change language. Now, I'll tell you what. Here, or throw it out. Well, but if you throw it out, then you won't have a bill. Don't you think? They then will have it. I see. Now, what I would like to do, Dr. Kissinger has worked on this thing, and we will send down by, just a second, how we'll send it. He's sitting here.
Special messenger.
To him?
Yeah.
We'll send down by special messenger to you in your office. Will we send it to you in your office? All right, you could come down right away. Now let me be very specific. This is not language the White House is advocating or urging. You understand? I don't want to put it that way. I'm simply saying to you that if in the judgment of the chairman of the conference, who basically is a great patriot in the event, that you determine that you determine that they're and you're negotiating that language is needed. This is the language that is the least objectionable. That's really what we're saying, that we would acquiesce in it. But I don't want it, you see, let me put it this way. I know we're not trying to be cute. I don't want, because of things that are going on in the negotiating front, I don't want to have a new position by the White House to come out of this. See, because the guy, here's David Bruce sitting over there, and incidentally, he's talked to me about this over the last days, and he says, gee, and he's just delighted with the House action. He said that the Senate thing really gave the enemy a lot of hope, and he says the House action shored it up. But here, if it appears that we have changed our position, even though it's, you see, so could you handle it that way, to say that? Yeah. No, that's right. It's the least objectionable. We could, and let me say, we could live with it, but I did not want it, but I would be, because the press will ask you, well, now, did the White House approve this? Did we write it? You say it. And you say, no, this is something we worked out in conference. That's right. Yeah. You got to know. Yeah. Right. That's right. Right. Yeah. Now, incidentally, any substantial modification of this, we don't mean you to leave every I think substantial modification might be that, but we put in as soon as practicable things like that that are. Yeah, that's it. Sense of Congress, and as soon as practicable rather than a date. See, the date is murder. Yeah, but we do say as soon as practicable. That's not bad. Never take the Mansfield Amendment. That would be murder. I'd rather go right back to the House on that and let the draft lapse. That's right. And if it lapses, Eddie, we can get along. Yeah. And all. That's right. Yeah, it is time to show diligence. So if they insist, if they're hard line about that they're going to, it's the Mansfield Amendment or something cut to it, or anything that has a date in it, stand like a rock. Don't give them a date. Don't give them an inch on the date.
And hook it to the ceasefire, too. It's got to be tied to a ceasefire as well.
Yeah. Right. No. That's right. Now, incidentally, the one new factor that we have factored into this, which I think you will totally agree with, is this, and I want to tell you why it's in, and why you should argue it is true. You see, the Senate amendment, Eddie, is tied only to a POW. Well, now, you can't lose 40,000 men and then throw in the towel because of 400. You see what I mean? Now, the second point is, the other thing is, if you have a withdrawal without a ceasefire, you risk the rest of your guys. So you've got to have a ceasefire in there as well as an exchange of prisoners. That's, you see my point? The ceasefire is an absolute condition for us moving up any faster. See my point? So that's what the language, why we've got this language will look a little bit. You'll see the nuances when it gets down. Yeah, and I'll get it down. It's only 8 minutes left. I think we get there before 10 o'clock. Or 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. All right. Divisions in NATO.
Absolutely.
But he's going in uniform.
Absolutely.
Lieutenant. And it's sad.